Welcome to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast, a radical anti-capitalist approach to herbalism, self-care, and the tarot. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the 80th episode of the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. This is Karina. I want to begin by reading a spell that I shared in the second issue of my personal zine, No Maidens, No Mothers. It's called Mantra for the Wounded Healer's Inner Child. When I validate myself, I don't need anyone else to validate me. When I acknowledge the pain, the grief, and the loss, I am truly free. I am liberated when I care for myself. And I wanted to share that because we are in the dark moon portal of Scorpio season. So this means we're right upon the time of death ritual that exists across many cultures before colonization. Some iteration of it. This is a time when we are in the season of liminal space, which is autumn, during the dark moon, which is associated with autumn. And around Halloween, you know, Halloween, All Saints Day, Day of the Dead, there's a lot of celebration around what we have lost and what it is like to just be a being on this path in this world, never knowing when our day is up, but honoring those who had their day and the memories that we hold for them. And this morning, a really dear friend sent me a voice message where she read to me my own mantra and how it helped her in a time that felt incredibly difficult. And I remembered that is why I am a witch. So I wanted to share that at the beginning of the episode. So today's episode is with Kathleen Callahan from Daughter of Wands. Kathleen is a medical astrologer, astro-herbologist. I don't know if that's a thing. Tarot reader and flower essence practitioner. And a really amazing person. Definitely check out Kathleen's Patreon. She does these weekly astro updates and then monthly flower essence studies. And it was an honor to speak with her. And actually, she interviewed me for her podcast, Florinosis. And that episode, I believe, is coming out. Just like we knew they were going to come out close, but it looks like they're going to end up coming out the exact same day. So you can listen to me on Kathleen's podcast talking about Pluto. And it's really been beautiful because I've been teaching this class, Rising Above the Wound. We have a Discord channel. Everyone's talking so much, sharing so much. And I realize like this work that I've done, on myself with Pluto for these last several years has been so healing and potent for me. And also this month I am wrapping up a 1-year mentorship or a 13-month mentorship, I guess, with Pavani More from Bespoken Bones about trauma healing and ancestral healing. And I've experienced so much deep connection to my ancestors in this time and really witnessing and holding their pain in this time. Especially, I have been asked to work with a lot of fire and water magic, a lot of rosemary and olive. And on Halloween, I made an essence of dried snakeskin. And thinking about that shedding of selves, that shedding. And for me also, you know, this is sort of like our witch's new year. So thinking about intention setting instead of waiting for like the more Americanized way of doing it, waiting for the New Year's to set our intentions. I'm setting my intentions now. And the star year, 2021 for me, has been incredibly transformative and beautiful. And I've also had the opportunity to craft about 40 essences. So on Patreon, I'm going to be starting flower essence case studies, or I already have. I'm releasing the one that we've done since I've been back from sabbatical is coming out this week if you want to check it out. I want to share a little bit about the work that I've done with my ancestors and the ancestral healing. And if you're interested in participating in a flower essence case study this fall and winter, you can join the Patreon for as low as $5 a month, and we'll be able to work something out in the next few months if you want to participate. I have so many flower essences to try out, and I'm really looking forward to speaking with more people and finding flowers that I think align with their specific needs. So we also have, this conversation was really, really long. Kathleen and I talked for a long time. I edited down about 20 minutes of it. You can watch the entire unedited conversation on Patreon. So definitely check it out. The Patreon is what sustains this podcast. So not only do you get a lot of other content there, it also is invaluable for this podcast. So thank you everyone who's continued to support, especially when sometimes it feels like people really, you know, sometimes people come to me and I always want to be accessible for price, but some people are just looking for a deal and like trying to talk you down like they think you're Walmart. And that weighs on me a lot as a small business owner who deals with chronic health and a lot of mental health issues. It can weigh on you when you feel like people are just trying to like squeeze everything out of you for like the smallest dollar amount that they can possibly give you. I'm very sensitive to that. I very much notice when it's happening. So it's so amazing to have people that are so committed to sustaining this work. So check out the Patreon. There's the full length conversation between Kathleen and I. Flower essence case studies. And if you pledge $7 or more, you also subscribe to my zine as it comes out. So the last two issues of No Maidens, No Mothers are in the shop. I'm also going to be, my schedule for tarot readings is open through the end of the year, but I probably will be taking down the November availability after this week. So if you would like to book a reading or a consultation with me, please do so this week and or for December. You know, I'll leave December up a little bit longer. But I know this is a hard time for a lot of people, and this is a time for us to really practice mantras, for us to try to be stronger and healthier and more resilient in times where we're seeing a lot of harms committed, and we know that those harms are mirrors to the past. And if we don't do something now, then they are windows to the future as well. So it's really about that self-work and allowing the self to radiate outwards. So I'm sending everyone lots of love. If you love the podcast, again, consider giving us a shout out, writing a review. It's still been since June since we've gotten any reviews on Apple Podcasts. And consider joining the Patreon, spreading the word. It really helps out a lot, and I appreciate it. So sending you lots of love and protection, and hope you're getting all your needs met, my friends. Today with the amazing Kathleen Callahan of Daughter of Wands. Kathleen, thank you so much for being here. Welcome to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast.
Oh, thank you so much, Karina, for having me. It's such an honor to be here.
Oh, it's such an honor to have you. I'm such a fan of your work. I would love it if, you know, for folks who aren't familiar with your work, if you just want to open by sharing a little about yourself, who you are, what you have to offer, etc.
Yeah. So I am a flower essence practitioner and oh my God, I'm like not finding the words for what do I do? I'm an astrologer as well. A little bit more of a focus on medical astrology and how I combine that with flower essence work. But you know, I also have like a lot of different modalities behind my belt too, but those flower essence flower essences and astrology is my main offering and focus and work. That is just one of those things that I will probably be doing forever and still not be a expert in. And to me, that is like fun. That's like what it's like worth the stuff that's worth doing. So yeah, flower essence practitioner and astrologer.
Amazing. So we were talking a little bit before we started the recording, but I feel like I've been following your work for a while with Daughter of Wands, and I feel like I've seen some evolution in what you offer and what you do. And I also really, you know, I think by the end of this conversation, people are going to really be drawn to like wanting to check out your offerings. But I'm on your Patreon, and I mean, your Patreon offerings are so generous and amazing. But I'm really curious, you know, I'm really fascinated with people's origin stories. So I'm really curious to like find out, you know, how you got on this path and like what the different, you know, directions that you took were along the way.
Yeah. Very mutable person. So lots of different crossroads to kind of get to where I'm at, and maybe there'll be more, but my origin story, begins as most herbalists begin, or a good chunk of herbalists will tell you very similar stories of they got sick. And that's kind of how all of this began for me. I actually went to school and went to college for textile design. So I have a background in art and weaving and stuff like that. And I had a full-time job with like doing design work for the industry. And I got really, really sick. It was my dream job. And as soon as I got that dream job, I got sick. And you know, it kind of all began with like, of course, Western allopathic medicine, just like immediate roadblocks with insurance in the US and, not being able to like immediately, as soon as I start going to doctors, like insurance wasn't covering any of that. And even though I had a full-time job, I still couldn't afford any of that stuff. So I immediately, at the time I was like in my early 20s, and I was just like, you know what, I'm just gonna like figure this out on my own and do what is accessible. And I've always been fascinated since I was young about like the fact that plants have healing capability, like they can heal humans. What? So I was like, this is the perfect opportunity. And I literally, while I was still at my full, like literally during the day, cause I was on the computer for like 8 hours straight every day doing design work. So I got to listen to like books and educate myself while I was at work and no one knew. So I like just dived in and like absorbed as much free information as I could. I didn't have a car. I couldn't be like an herbal apprentice, somewhere. I didn't have a car. I couldn't drive to upstate New York. Cause I'm in the Philly region, by the way. I, even though I had a full-time job, I couldn't, you know, I was still living paycheck to paycheck. And so just with like the limited amount of resources that I had available to me, no car, anything like that, I really had to take advantage of as much information that luckily with the internet I had available to me. So I really, my origin story is that I'm a self-taught herbalist, and I started learning through another self-taught herbalist, Jim McDonald, who is like fairly well known in the herbal community. And that really kind of entrusted my deep investment in continuing to learn about plants. That's another thing, just like with astrology, plants and astrology are like those things that many, many lifetimes will still not be enough knowledge, because we're still learning about both of those things. So it's just never get bored of either of those things learning. So I went really deep into that to try to heal myself. And it was really when like the Western world cut me off immediately. And I started going to yoga and I started learning about Ayurveda, and not that I took that far at all, but, really connecting in with, my own, like the Western traditional, like my own ancestral plants and things like that. It was, you know, now here, it's funny because where I'm at right now, as you're talking to me, I'm literally like circling back to that whole origin story of where I'm at now, because I'm literally picking back up those pieces of where I was stopped at with, those like tests and going to doctors. And, I'm like picking that back up now. And I'm literally right at where, like, just took the first step past where I could, where I was like all those years ago. But I have all of these years of like learning how to take care of myself behind me and with me, with like plants and astrology and all those other things. So, regardless. Okay. So started learning about plants. And, at that point too, I actually started to get interested in astrology. And I actually learned astrology through medical astrology first before I, because it just really easily flowed from the plant stuff and learning, oh, these plants have like, are kind of work with like planets and stuff like that too. So that's kind of how I just easily bridged into medical astrology actually, and learned about medical astrology through Sage Apopum of the School of Evolutionary Herbalism, who has a book out now. So I learned through him online too. And that was just deeply fascinating. One of those things I learned while I was at work and I was listening to all that stuff. And from there, you know, it's just kind of one of the, like that kind of snowballed into those things where it's like, oh, there's so much more about astrology that I could go so much deeper with that I probably want, I want to learn more about this planet. So I, at that point, I kind of took a step back from the plant stuff and I dived really deep for a couple years into just astrology, and that, and a tarot was always, tarot now was always one of those things that I have always done and has always been with me since I was younger. That has, that, that really is my origin story is tarot. But it's just one of those things that's just so foundational that, has always been part of the offerings and the practices that I've done. At this point now, it's become a more 12th house, private, personal thing that I do for myself. And I think that really just comes from like doing it for a couple years and needing to step back from consultations, because I need, realizing as I'm the present Kathleen that's talking, I had a lot of shadow work to do around like people pleasing and being afraid of, you know, telling people the truth and them not wanting to hear it. And then that's how they received. And oh my God, did I do a good job? You know, I stopped doing that for a while and, worked on myself. And now I'm doing consultation work again, because I've worked through some of those, some of my relationship to those things. But tarot was always this thing. My dad actually used to be a tarot reader, in the 70s, and he never taught me tarot. He was afraid of it as he got older. But tarot was one of those things that always connected me to my dad, even though he didn't do it anymore. He actually still really supported and like approved of me doing it professionally. I think that him seeing that I could do it in today's world where it was more accepted or like more wanted and less of a taboo thing, although that's still, there's still those things there, but it was in the 70s, it was kind of a different thing, I guess, from where he was working. And, I think he was excited and proud and very supportive that that was a reality, that I could do that and make a living from it. So I was happy to do that. So it was just one of those things where it kind of naturally, when I focused more on astrology, it kind of naturally worked together too, just like the plants and astrology worked really well together. Tarot and astrology has a lot of connections that were built together, or tarot was built in there. You know, there's a lot of fluidity with astrology and tarot. But like I said, that kind of went into the background, and there's so many, you know, at this point, you know, I was also learning, how to heal myself with Reiki, learning Reiki as well, learning IET, which is integrative energy therapy, which is kind of like Reiki, but actually with angels, or working with different like energy rays as a better, maybe a better way to say that. I was offering those as well for other people, just really like everything that is working for me, I want to help and offer this to other people too. And I honestly, yeah, like if you've been following me for a while, there's been several transformations of my work. And I think a lot of it was because there was very little fear to like just try something and like see what sticks and what, like, I'm just like, I had no fear of experimenting with my offerings. And through trial and error and actually doing them, I learned pretty quickly what worked for me and what didn't. And so like, it's a very visual transformation of like where I've come from. And that's all through trial and error and what was working for me and what doesn't. And when 2020 happened, when COVID happened, you know, I was offering everything to help people with no boundaries of my own, and quickly had to stop offering things because I was burnt out. And I learned very easily what my professional boundaries needed to look like. And I took almost that whole year off from consulting, and I just did a lot of teaching stuff, which was way better for me anyway, because I love teaching. So yeah. And this year I've opened consultation work again, but through the lens of doing astrology and flower essence work together. And flower essences are kind of started when I actually started medical astrology stuff pretty early on. I had a lot of teachers in flower essences too, which is like funny to think because they're so like intuitive and like personal, and, you know, but I actually worked with several different people with them, but I actually really like that because I got a lot of different perspectives that, you know, I didn't want to like pigeonhole and have tunnel vision with like, this is my way is the only way to do it. So I really enjoyed learning different intuitive approaches and arrivals of the intimacy of flower essence making. And you know, how we write, I think the biggest thing I struggle with flower essences is like how to write what this does, how to like market it, which is a part that I don't like doing. But I've come to change my relationship with that a little bit too. My project with Daughter of Wands this year has been to like just be a human. And it's really not as simple as that. When you're an individual who makes a living, who's self-employed and who makes a living with what you're offering and doing all of these things, and there's no assistance, and it's really just you're doing all of the work behind the scenes. You know, you learn what burnout looks like pretty easily. And with navigating that with like this physical stuff on top of it, I've had to really like put the brakes on a lot with like, and it's been forcing me to insist on that transformation and that change this year. I'm just trying to be human. So that's what's coming through for my origin story. So a lot of different things, but it all really stems from me trying to work on myself. And here's the things that have helped me along the way, and I want to help others with what I've learned.
Wow. Thank you for sharing all of that.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. I'm like digesting a lot of what you shared. And I just want to say again, like, I think you're a really talented practitioner. I've taken a couple of your webinars, and I just saw that they're online on your website. Everybody should like the Chorus Companions. And then there's the other one, Winter Poisonous Plants, right? I can't remember the name of that. I took both of those. So good.
Thank you.
So much information. Like, everyone can take those. If you're interested in astroherbology and poisonous plants, like, take these webinars. It's, and your prices are so low. I'm like, you know, yeah, that's another thing. Capitalism, you know, and I really respect, it is hard to market yourself in capitalism. It's, I don't think people understand that a lot of the time because it's not modeled, because the influencer culture is so like, show up your great day. Like, everything's going great. Like, I tell people sometimes, recently I've had a couple conversations. We do live in a society. We very much live in a society where we are supposed to be overselling ourselves and hyping ourselves up and showing a large amount of confidence. And that feels insincere to me, at least. It feels very disingenuous to be like, change your life. You know, that kind of stuff to me is so insincere and it lacks integrity, whether or not it's true. Like, there's a lot of people that are very talented. And I think both of us are talented in what we do, but it's like the whole act of selling yourself and trying to guarantee an experience to someone for their money feels incredibly disingenuous. So that's like my little response tangent to what you shared.
Yeah, no, I feel really similar. Like, and I'll say very specifically, you know, with over Virgo season, I've been taking monkshood, wolfsbane flower essence, and that one has kicked a lot of people's ass, which I love about flower essences with poisonous plants. That's what we, you know, but this one for me has literally been like conditioning me with that specifically, with like my work mentality and like the conditioning of like hustling and all that. Like, with monkshood, I've obviously, my relationship to how much I'm energetically putting out with my content has drastically decreased this year, because of everything that's happened to me this year, and I'm okay with that. But I was still comparing myself to the previous years of where I was like working and expecting, like, I was busting out so much content over those, since like 2018 to 2019, 2020. And literally since the whole time I've been like completely self-employed. And I realized that, you know, I was operating on different standards that weren't really true to what I was capable of, because I was constantly burnt out. And I over-identified with like Daughter of Wands, with my work self. And I had no time. This is the first year, because I'm not overly extended in Daughter of Wands, where that's where I said, like, I'm more interested in being a human right now, because I'm actually, for the first time in a long time, like, enjoying who I personally am without an attachment to a public identity or to my offer, like to my extension. Like, I'm like, bitch, like, what about me focusing on Kathleen besides Daughter of Wands, you know? And it feels really fucking good. And with monkshood, I keep noticing that the words that keep coming as I was taking monkshood, I just kept saying like, I just want to be a human, like, God fucking forbid. And, like, I'm not interested in being a girl boss. Like, sorry, I'm, and I sound like, I'm just not interested in that. And to your point, like, it feels insincere. And for me specifically with the whole physical thing, like with what I actually have to be more careful of with the energetic output that I have, I don't actually have the energy to do that anymore, physically speaking and fucking mentally. So like, there, to me, I've finally reached a point where I'm like, I'm not even going to fucking engage in that. And if other people have a problem with like the limited amount of content that I'm capable of.
Yeah. And I wanted to say this, and then I went off on the tangent about capitalism, because this is the Rise Up Good Witch podcast and we have to talk about capitalism. But I did want to say, you know, acknowledgement and sending love
for the grief that you're experiencing because of the loss of your father. Really surprised that your workflow seemed, from my perspective, from an outsider's perspective, it seemed like pretty congruent. So it's interesting to hear that you're like focusing on being a human. By the way, hard relate to that, knowing that you really are carrying on this like ancestral tradition of doing tarot for in your father's honor in some way, I think is really beautiful. And just, you know, like, yeah, sending you lots of love for that really difficult loss in your life.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I will say I noticed that too, like around the time in the spring, right when my father passed, like I actually still had a ton of energy and I noticed, and I was still, but that I was still holding on to a lot of, I was still operating under a lot of expectations of, I still have to show up. I still have to show up. And I wasn't fully grieving, but that's also mixed with like, I already had my peace and I already said goodbye based on under the circumstances of how he passed. And there's a whole lot that I can get into about that, but so it was mixed with like, I already had peace around it and it actually uplifted me. And it actually gave me a lot of inspiration to keep going. And I got a lot of strength from that and a lot of like energy and like purpose, like a lot of solar plexus, like push forward from my dad, like passing. But it was also like mixed with those conditioning of like, keep showing up, keep hustling, keep doing it. So it was, and then after, and then like when the summer came, that's when everything, you know, Cancer season is 12th house for me. So that's when I actually like let go of like all of that. And I'm still working through that, obviously. But I feel like I finally like let go and grieved in the summer. And I'm still kind of in that process a little bit, but you know, we're setting into Libra season pretty soon. And like, for me, that is getting close to like these other areas of my chart. So I'll naturally like open up again. But, so I did have a lot of offerings around that time. And I'm even surprised that like, I look back and I'm like, fuck, I really didn't like give myself any boundaries at that time. I was really open and sharing a lot on Instagram and stuff like that, which was, I guess, looking back on it, the way that I processed it. And that's fine. But I really went into isolation mode after that, actually. And it wasn't until working with foxglove, that another poisonous plant, that actually, brought me back to myself.
I would love to hear you talk a little bit about foxglove. That was one of the first flower essences I ever made.
Really? Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Foxglove is one of those plants that I was actually really intimidated and a little nervous to work with because just with, and it's honestly from the deep association that it has with like the Fae, as an example, I was really nervous to work with it, with like fear of upsetting the Fae and then bringing all this like chaos into my life. And that's really because, you know, I guess I was, and still am, have a lot to learn about what that means to me. But, I was really nervous to like upset foxglove, because it's just one of those energies with, it's so beautiful and so enchanting. And I think a lot of people have a very like endearing, like when they look at foxglove, they're like, oh, it's like this inner child or like very endearing energy that people arrive to that plant. But for me, it was, which I think says a lot about me, actually, it was very, a lot of like immediate boundary and like how I arrived to foxglove was a little nerve wracking. And which meant that like I had, in order to make an essence with it, you know, I waited a long time until I felt like it said yes, you know, asking for permission for it. And finally also me, mirroring my own permission to work with it. So it took some time. And working with foxglove, you know, it is very poisonous. And it's the way that it works actually in opposite with monkshood is that monkshood, it like slows the heart rate down very, very. If you actually meditate with monkshood, you can actually feel a gravity sometimes and everything slows down. Foxglove, everything chirps up very, very activating, very stimulating to the heart. And especially because my father passed of a heart-related condition, of a heart attack. So just with that like heart association with my father too, I was like a little nervous to work with it. But Foxglove gave me really specific imagery working with it in regards to like just piercing the heart. And after working with it and taking the flower essence over the whole season of Leo season, I found myself for the first time in a while, again, that's when I really chose to like, that Foxglove really offered me this invitation to like take pleasure in creativity, but just for yourself. You don't have to show it to anybody. To rediscover myself through, cause I was in some, you know, I was, that's when I was really grieving. That's when I was experiencing, depression. And after taking Foxglove, it was like slowly dipping my fingers back into wanting to make things, with my hands. Like I really wanted to work with clay as a form of therapy. I started drawing again, and just, I also started like kind of getting into D&D actually. So I found, and that's like a very Leo performance based thing too. But I was doing all of these things for me without the need to like market it, without the need to even show it to other people or to capitalize off of it. So that's how I kind of, I've always been a creative person. So it makes a lot of sense for me to find myself through creativity, through creative means again. And Foxglove really offered that to me. And you know, after I always do this, when I'm taking flower essences, usually I meditate with them, kind of check in with my body, kind of do like a body scan on a weekly basis to kind of see how things shift. While also like just kind of note taking and noticing the whole time I'm working with the flower essence. Besides obviously having visual notes of like drawings with Foxglove, that last meditation with it, it showed me as this like really barren landscape that kind of after like an atomic bomb went off and it was all dirt. And Foxglove showed me that it kind of like pierced the atmosphere and just one single drop of water hit and fell and landed in my dirt, of my heart, I guess. And just green started to sprout again for the first time in a while. And it really pierced that barrier of like maybe over self-protection and like shutting down and isolation, and allowed me to like feel nourished again, for the first time in a while. Working with monkshood right after that, monkshood detoxified that like atomic waste that's in the soil, like in the nutrients. And it's really helped decondition me from like my attitude towards how I put myself out there with work. But yeah, so Foxglove, you asked about specifically, one of those plants that, I actually had no interest in working with like when I started getting into poisonous plants, it was like one of the ones I had like least interest in. I was more focused on like, I got henbane here, like some other like really intense, darker plants, huge fan of, but then Foxglove, it was like too, I don't know, like too childish to me, I guess at the time that was my attitude towards it. And now it really kicked my ass. And taking the flower essence with it in a way that has truly, now it's like one of those, now it's really become like a true ally, or even like, my relationship with it has really turned into an endearing one with deep respect, for just the efficiency of how much it really brought me back to myself when I was in such a place of, isolation. Yeah, I don't know. What is your experience with that?
Well, you know, that was beautiful. And Foxglove was, yeah, like I said, it was one of the first essences I ever made. Violet and Foxglove were the two first essences. And that was in, I'm a newbie in the, like in the, yeah, I consider myself a relative flower essence newbie because I started in 2018. And I was very hesitant to come into the world of essence making. I was like, this seems like hippie bullshit. Like, that's kind of like how I felt for a lot of years. I was like, it's water with alcohol in it. And you take one drop of it. Like, come on. Like, what are they going to capitalize off of next? Like, that's sort of what I thought about until I started working with them myself in 2018. And I think actually that, I think it was 2018 when my dog died, actually. And that's when I experienced a level of grief. You know, it's interesting. Like, I feel like you sharing your story is like helping me go back and like remember that story. You know, I had an animal companion that was run over by a car in front of me, which still I have literal PTSD from. I was facing this like grief and these PTSD flashbacks that was really unprecedented by, you know, and that was also in the early years, or the early year, I guess, of Rise of Good Witch. So navigating this like intense grief and like, you know, shame and guilt and all the emotions, because grief is such a complex thing to go through, and just, you know, like ego death in terms of like having this vision for my life, you know, that in a lot of ways, like Rise of Good Witch was the childhood vision I had for my life. Like, always, I remember in 2014, a friend being like, if you could do what you wanted, really wanted to do, what would you do? And I was like, tarot and plant medicine. But who does that? That isn't rich. Like, no one does going to grad school to be a researcher, because no one gets to be a professional witch. So it was like, I had that dream, but then my trajectory was very different for my life. My way of having sustainability and capitalism was very different. So I think that time of my life, I was not only going through the grief of being like, you know, I don't really think that I can ever be happy working a 9-to-5 in the system. So I'm trying to make self-employment work for me. And then I'm also dealing with this grief of like having my animal companion like killed right in front of me. And that's really when I started learning about energetic medicine, spirit medicine, essences. And Violet was the first essence I made. And then like a month after that, I made the Foxglove essence. And, you know, it's been like, and this goes into another thing that I wanted to, you know, talk with you about, because you have on your Patreon a monthly flower essence. So when you're talking about these different flower essences you work with, you choose one for each season, and then you have like a tier where people receive it. And then I've, for the last couple of years, have been doing flower essence case studies, but in a different way, where I will choose a couple of patrons at random and send them the essence. And I just started doing it where I don't tell them what it is. Mm. And you actually participated last year in my
open
study. Yeah. Which I wanted to talk about, but, you know, so this is a very tangential and like, I'm getting to your question of like what I thought of Foxglove for a long time. I was making essences and then giving them to other people and here and asking them what they thought of it. I wasn't doing the practice myself, because I've only really gotten into somatics and body awareness in the last year and a half. But I wasn't like, you know, competent in the understanding of somatics enough to like notice that there were subtle changes. There very well could have been. But I think like there's like a body literacy that you have to have to be aware a lot of times of the changes that flower essence can have over our systems. Like, we have to be very observant of ourselves. And a lot of times, you know, for trauma survivors, for people in a lot of grief, for people struggling with day-to-day life, with mental health issues, it's hard to check in with yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of when it's hard to really notice how something's affecting you. I made 25 essences this summer, and I had a chance to work with a couple of them, but I really just made them and was like, well, I'm going to like share these, you know, do some flower essence case studies and stuff. And I made one of them was foxglove, because the other thing is, until 2 years ago, when I would make a flower essence, I would immediately like put it in something and I wouldn't keep like a mother of it. Mm-hmm. So I don't have any of the essences I made in my first couple of years working with them, but I did make a foxglove essence this summer, and I am excited to try it out and then try it out with other people and see, you know, what the result is.
Yeah. I love what you mentioned about the body literacy when it comes to somatically checking in with flower essences. I know that's something that I said that I do personally. And that also, like, I wouldn't, and I agree. I'm only really able to do that now because of like the Reiki and the IET work. And I also did like medical intuitive training earlier this year too, which is all related to noticing the energetics of the body. So like all of that training, of course, has like allowed me to like be able to do that work. And I think that's really an important thing to mention, because that's something that as a flower essence practitioner, when we give it to other people, this is just what my journey has been with it. Doing clinical case studies throughout this year with like my one-on-one consultations that I do in congruence with astrology. And then doing these more collective group experiences with the flower essence subscription thing that I do on my Patreon, where I'm like, how did it go? You know, what did you experience? There's so many things, there's so many nuanced layers to that, that has to do with boundaries. It has to do with, you know, so many things. And I've learned a lot over the course of specifically consulting for flower essence work, because before I would just make blends, or I would put them on my website and people would buy them. Right. So I wouldn't really have a conversation unless somebody reached out to me. I wouldn't have a conversation with that, but this year working closely, like since February, working closely, having follow-up meetings, or talking in group, or talking through email, or even a evaluation form, like whatever method is easiest for that person to respond with. I've learned a lot through that too. And like these reminders of like when I was working as a consulting tarot person, as a astrologer in the past, as a body worker in the past, I was like, oh fuck, of course there's like boundaries that come with flower essence stuff too. It's the same thing as your, you know, like that person doesn't always have to share what, you know, what they experienced. They might not know, be able to connect with their body. So there's so many layers to it. That's really important. And that's actually something like going forward that I'm thinking about, how to address that and how to work through that in the flower, you know, whether it's something that people want, I'm not sure, but in the flower essence, like on my Patreon specifically, like you know, if you want this information, not everybody's going to want it, but like how to check in with your body, or even using flower essences on the acupressure points for anointing rather than ingesting. Cause you know, a lot of people also don't like taking alcohol, preservatives. So, you know, if they get one like that, you can anoint it. We can experiment with just, you know, what is the difference there, and kind of going deeper with that and checking in with different layers there. You know, some people do EFT tapping with flower essences as well to like further attune and further like, you know, settle in and integrate those things. I don't always do that. In fact, I don't really do that. But I think that's an interesting thing to add to it. It's not always a given, right? Like it might be a given for me to check in with my body, but it's not always a given. And I think that's important, that how we each arrive to whatever modality it is, including flower essence work. Like we each have our own way of doing things, and to kind of honor that, I think, is important. And that's something that's been on my mind for a little bit, and I wasn't really sure how to work through it. And, you know, I've been interested in like kind of putting together a series soon on my Patreon on like, here's all the different ways that you can work with flower essences. Try these things if this doesn't work, or you might get something from it that maybe I don't, but you know, just so much.
Yes, absolutely. And one thing I like to tell folks, like I said, I feel like I'm like a baby student in the world of flowers, but I'm like a devotee of the world of flowers. Like I love them. And I just, that's, you know, the thing about it is there would be no way to be an expert on flowers and flower essences, I think. Whereas I think when you work with a flower essence, what I like to tell people is that it's not working for you, it's working with you. So yeah. You can't just, you know, when someone's like, I'm in such a bad place right now and I need something to make me feel better now. And mm-hmm. I just like need something to work. If you're in that, which I've been in that mindset, y'all. So yeah. Like, no judgment.
Yeah.
But a flower essence will show you what you need to be shown, which is how I feel about tarot also.
It's not working to, it's not happening to you. It's happening for you whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And when I do the flower essence case studies, so I started doing it in my Plant Witch mentorship circle, and we would do one together and then kind of compare like what our experiences are. And it's never going to affect everyone the same way. It's kind of like a flashlight with like a wide beam, and
absolutely.
Whatever it is that's going on in your life that has to do with the issues or the themes of the flower, they're going to illuminate those parts of your life in that way. But you have to be open to receiving it. And yes, I was someone for many years, so I relate very much to people who are not open to receiving, because I was not open to receiving for many years. And I loved that you brought something similar up about your own shadow work and self-care, because I think like there is this tendency, which I have also been guilty of, to like step into creating offerings without like really taking the time to do that work on ourselves. And then that goes back to like, but like, who has all the time to heal all shit if you don't have a trust fund? You know, there's a lot of different ways to look at using flower essences, but it is really fascinating to see the way that people can use essences in different ways that feel aligned with them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's also interesting too, the way that you described the flower essence as being like a flashlight with a wide, and that's like, to me, that's how I think about the sun a lot in transits. And we're using the sun to alchemize like these flower essences a lot. So I'm like, there's a connection there. I think that's a cool connection with like what the sun kind of does in transits and what the sun is doing in making a flower essence. And how that kind of reverberates into the layers of the body, the mind, et cetera. But yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's so much to talk about there.
We had a very bad drought year here. So there wasn't a lot of opportunity to make flower essences in the desert, unfortunately, because you do need a lot of rainfall to get any flowers and for the cactuses to bloom. If there's not enough rainfall, any flowers that bloom will immediately be food for the ground squirrels and the rabbits, which like bless their hearts, allow them to have that over me making a flower essence. I'm kind of just like getting to a point where I'm like trying to take care of things in my life. so that I can slow down enough to like really dive in with all these flower essences I've made in the last few months. You know, one that did have a strong effect was the Ocotillo, which you took part in that study. And Ocotillo now is one of my favorite essences. I think it's so deep and it's really related to Chiron, which is something that you wrote about. And the other thing is, so like, I'm kind of jumping around here. You are such an amazing artist and you make your labels and then you do this artwork and you like make the artwork for your classes. So I just feel like you're like a treasure trove of talents.
Thank you.
Yeah. I would love to just like hear a little bit about like your experience with Ocotillo.
Was that 2 years ago?
It was, I think, a year ago.
A year ago. Okay.
Yeah.
Why I'm thinking it's 2 years ago? Because 2 years ago, literally now, I was in the desert for the first time and working with like and experiencing Ocotillo in Tucson, Arizona for the first time. So I miss the desert so much. I always think about it with like Virgo Libra season because that's when I was there. And the Ocotillo, I noticed I'll just share really briefly about like what I noticed about it in person as someone who's never experienced it before, I think I was like, because they grow, obviously, at least in Tucson, because that's where I was, they grow really close to, as everything does, I guess. There's saguaro cactuses and ocotillos, and they're both like as tall as one another. Like those are two of the tallest things in the desert there. And so they have this very like, you know, this presence that was like kind of paralleled in a sense, and just as tall as one another, this very like, you know, I hate to say it as archetypical, but like divine masculine, divine feminine type thing, if there's better words for that, you know. But what I noticed about the Ocotillo is that when I was going in a lot of caves, because there's a lot of caves there, and I was going in as many caves as I could. And every time I would go touring those caves, on the top of the caves, it was all Ocotillo and no saguaro. And to me, when I was taking the essence, my relationship to IRL Ocotillo was like an inner cave. They were like these guardians on top, growing on top of these caves, which is like, you know, this kind of the inward feminine, you know, going deep inside experience. And that's, you know, when I was working with your Ocotillo, it was bringing me back to these like going inside of these caves. And there was one cave in particular that I forget the name of it, but it had a lot of vandalism over, because it had been open for like 150 years. So at that time, you know, people weren't as interested in preservation, historical preservation, and people would cut stalactites and like, you know, so there's a lot of like literal vandalism, a lot of graffiti from like 1800s in there. And so there were, I just kept thinking of like the exploited resources of that cave and like how it was like taken, kept being taken. There was like these few pieces that were left, but it was so deep and beautiful. And it just was reminding me of those internal places when I was taking it, of where I felt pieces of me were removed as well. And the relationship to, I guess, because it's such a tall, just like saguaro, it needs a lot of water, or it has roots that reach obviously the water that's like further down in the ground in the desert. And so like tapping those, going as deep as we can to tap those inner resources of where the water lies, and the Ocotillo's relationship with any plant in the desert, relationship with water. It felt like this inner fire, you know, like a cave fire, a fire in the cave. That was like, and I think I, 'cause I also drew a picture as like what my experience with it was like when I was like journeying or meditating with your Ocotillo, I was brought to that cave. I was brought to this inner fire, finding our fire deep within this like dark place, where lots of things had been removed, but still having an inner fire. And I remember experiencing and feeling like this like rumbling and this like clapping and this dancing and these like vibrations of not celebration, but of like rallying up, mustering the forces type energy of like going out, but it still had this originating place in the deep like caverns of the self. So that's my Ocotillo. And it really did bring back a lot of creativity for me at the time. I remember drawing a lot around because when I drew the image for Ocotillo, like that was the first time in a while I drew. I remember that. So I was feeling really creative again, and like that inner fire being mustered again. And I guess I'll share that it also, I think if I remember correctly, it also brought my period on earlier, which it does have, it actually does physically, yeah. That plant have a like uterine relationship with that area of the body. So I wasn't surprised, but I was like, oh, even flower essence can do that work sometimes. So, and maybe it was the moon phase too. I don't know, but, you know, so yeah, it was a really beautiful experience. And I'm curious to hear, as someone who lives next to Ocotillo, on a year round basis, you know, what your relationship with Ocotillo is just this one time visitor, but.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. I love Ocotillo. It's such a potent plant ally for me, in essence form. I do not have, like, I don't see them that much. So where I live in the desert, they don't grow wild. Okay. I mean, I'm right, like I'm looking at the park right now. Like I can see where the park is right now, but even in Joshua Tree Park, Ocotillos are really only in one corner of the park. Mm. There might be some in other parts of the park, but there's like it's in the southern part of the park that's more near like the Coachella Valley. In person, I mean, I do live in the desert, so I do see them. You know, there are in the town I live in, there are some that are planted, but they are, I don't think they're naturally occurring.
I see.
They were planted.
Okay.
But I did notice again, like this spring, I went down to Borrego Springs. The Ocotillos were not flowering very much. I mean, again, like we were in on the West Coast, massive, like unprecedented drought year, and it showed. I mean, I was up in the Pacific Northwest. It showed, like, you can see how dry everything is. And in the desert, it shows because there are no wild. Kathleen, where can folks find you? How can they connect with you? How can they work with you and support your work?
Thank you. Yay. So you can find my website, just daughterofwands.com, where I offer flower essences and doing one-on-one consultation work with your astrology and marrying that with a custom flower essence. And that is really what I really enjoy doing. I have a lot of my classes that are like as evergreen offerings on my website, that Corinna already mentioned, like a lot of us, not a lot, but several poisonous plant, educational resources and classes. I also do have a Patreon, where I do weekly astrology forecasts. And that's the thing that I do the most consistently on there right now at the time. But there's also like 3 or 4 years of shit on there to dive through and have fun with. And the thing that I also consistently offer that I put a lot of work into that I love the most is also my flower essence subscription that I do on my Patreon. I'm actually going to start switching it off of Patreon so that people don't have to be on Patreon to take it. So stick around for that. And yeah, that's a flower essence that we take every zodiacal season. And we have that's mailed to you. And then we have like a monthly meditation meetup where we share our experiences. And the Libra season one is going to be announced today, but I'll announce it here that it's going to be Columbine or native red Columbine. That was a surprise to me that one came through, cause I really wanted to work with, another one that I had in mind, but, these actually kind of build on top of each other. so that it's not just like a jarring experience each time that you take a different flower essence. It's like this, it's Columbine very specifically to kind of support the transitioning process out of monkshood, which is pretty intense. So Columbine is coming through to like take that and build upon it and go forward with it, as opposed to like these jarring experiences. So it's very intentional which ones it is. So that's the gist of the work and my offerings that I'm doing now. So thank you. Oh, and I'm also starting my own podcast too. I guess I should mention that, that I told my partner the name of it and he was like, oh, that'll be easy to find. And I'm like, okay. It's called Florinosis, and it's basically kind of, you know, talking about flower essences and our relationship with plants and planets, and should be really fun. So yeah, that's everything that I got going on right now that I'm excited about. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, that's amazing. And this episode will probably come out after Libra season, but okay. Yeah, you have so many offerings. I hope people, you know, and I recommend your Patreon so much because I love your weekly astro forecasts that you do on there. Well, thank you so much, Kathleen, for collaborating with me in this way. It's an honor to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. If you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/riseupgoodwitch, where a pledge of $5 or more per month gets you access to extra content and helps support the production of the show. And go to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and a review. You can also check out the website for tarot readings and apothecary and other offerings. Thanks so much, y'all. See you next time.